card reader and psychic talking to us about tarot today. Welcome back, Kathleen.
Hi.
Hi. I have a couple of questions. You mentioned the schools. Can you explain the role of the school? Is that us?
Yes. Yes. The Fool is the what I call the protagonist of the tarot story. So the Fool is zero, meaning all potential. It's the beginning, the first card. The Fool symbolizes sort of spirit coming into body. There's a number of different ways you could think about it. It could be like a baby. It's the beginning. And so we sort of come into our bodies, and the Fool goes through a journey to enlightenment. And so each one of the major arcana cards has a number. So the first, so number one is the Magician, which is where the Fool learns the magic of manifestation, making things happen, speech, for example, communication. So once the Fool has learned the lessons of the Magician, then along comes the High Priestess as number two, where the Fool, the High Priestess represents the Fool's spiritual mother, and she comes to remind him of where he came from, not to get all egotistical after having learned the magic of manifestation. And then the three is the Empress, who represents the physical mother of the Fool, and so on and so forth, and so all the way up to the Universe card or the World card at 21, which is where the Fool is fully whole and complete. So that journey is complete, but of course we go through this journey to enlightenment many, many, many times and many cycles throughout our lives.
What card is
it? I'm sorry?
What card
is it? I'm having a lot of trouble hearing that last part. What card is?
21.
21, yes. That's the Universe card or the World card. Mm-hmm. Which represents wholeness or completion or enlightenment. That is the card of where the cycle, the Fool has learned all the lessons that were taught in the journey, in the majors, or the journey to enlightenment, and has successfully navigated those challenges and reached this sort of wholeness stage. So in divinatory meaning, the Universe or the universe or World card represents the completion of a cycle. Everything is whole and ready to begin again. So it's often referred to in simple mundane terms, it would be, you know, symbolic of a move or, you know, changing your job or but it's the end of a cycle.
So I'm to the understand then, as we are the Fool, it's in situations are renewing or...
Yes, that's correct.
Wow.
Full potential.
I'm glad I figured it out. You're helping me with that. What card is luck?
Luck. Well, there's a number of different cards you could say, but classically, I guess I would say that's the Wheel of Fortune, which is number 10. The Wheel of Fortune is kind of links to, you think about the roulette wheel or the fairy wheel. The Wheel of Fortune, in classic meaning, is like Lady Fortuna comes into our lives to remind us that we're not always in control, that sometimes fate or, unexpected things happen and we respond to it. I mean, you know, all of us know what it's like to go through periods where you're just really lucky. Everything you seem to reach for is there. It's like you have the Midas touch, right? And yet we've also experienced times in our lives where just nothing seems to work. And every time we go to do something, we seem to get tripped up. Nothing is working. So this is the Wheel of Fortune. So it's not, I wouldn't say that it necessarily would indicate that you're going to be lucky, although in classic meaning it would suggest that. I think it's more fitting to say you're going to go through a period where it doesn't feel like you're in control of your destiny.
Ladies, we got an email.
Right.
It's from a pride Russian gypsy.
With the Russian...
Gypsy tarot.
Oh, the Russian gypsy tarot. I actually don't have any experience with that deck.
Can I ask another question?
Yes.
I'm all full of questioning. All the questions that people... some people have said to me that... have to be able to pick your own tarot because the tarot they'd love
to give a tarot deck as a gift.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I think so. I certainly have given decks as gifts. There's often a lot of I want to say kind of magical thinking around the tarot, and some people will say, well, you're not really supposed to go out and buy your own tarot deck, which I think is ludicrous. I think you should buy your own deck because you're more likely to choose one that really resonates with you. So if you're not supposed to buy your own deck, then, you know, it's ideal if someone gives it to you as a gift. But I would say that giving it as a gift is okay if you know that person really well, what they're interested in, what kind of imagery does really resonate for them.
How about the idea that the deck
That the deck is what?
Supposed to be able to pick you. Next, and then the deck kind of speaks to you, and that's the one you should have. The deck speaks to you. Give me a break. I'm just going by what people have said.
I guess I'm not clear on that. How would the deck pick you?
I don't know. That's why I was asking you. Your first answer clarifies it more. Now, what's your favorite?
Oh boy, that one, that's a really, really hard question. I have all kinds of favorite decks. I taught feminist tarot for a long time, so I still have a great attachment to the feminist tarot. I think they're beautiful. I think their interpretations are fabulous. It was Vicki Noble's work in Mother Peace that I taught for a number of years. It was really exciting to teach. It was she was just, her books are very rich, and the deck is wonderful too. It's round, and often feminist tarot decks are round because round is more of a kind of feminine shape that women resonate with. Daughters of the Moon is another one that's really lovely. I use that one. And these are decks that are really old, by the way. They've been around for, you know, a donkey's age. Mother Peace was designed in 1981. So those are a couple of decks that I use. I love Alexandra Jannetty's work. The Maat Tarot, M-A-A-T, which is the goddess, the Egyptian goddess of justice. And her work is also, I think, brilliant. She's just released a new deck that I just received this week, actually, that is really beautiful. It's Egyptian tarot. So I guess I tend to follow certain tarotists or artists that I think their work is really, you know, brilliant. It's deep. It's not just pretty, but there is kind of more work that's gone into the interpretation. And a lot of research has gone into their work as well. So, I have quite a few decks that I really like. And there's lots that I don't like, too. Oh, good. I wouldn't tell you anyway, because I wouldn't want to influence anybody that way. And you know, I mean, just because a deck doesn't resonate for me doesn't mean it won't. It obviously does resonate for others, right?
Of course. With the original boxes, which you have bags, boxes,
Well, I'd like to say that I'm very organized about it, but that would be a lie. They're in a number of different packaging possibilities. I have some in their original boxes because I happen to like the boxes, and the boxes keep them well. They're just really well-built boxes. Others haven't been packaged as well, and so they, you know, I've had to put them in little purses. So some of, you know, I've picked up purses around, you know, in thrift stores and places like that, like little beaded purses or just any ones that'll fit a deck.
That is amazing. What a great idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the smartest thing I've ever heard. You know, it makes all the sense in the world. So no magic cloth, you don't have
no.
Bring them to a reading and have them all wrapped in glittery cloth.
No, I don't do anything like that. I do have a cloth that I read on. I like to put my cards on what I call the reading cloth. And that's only because it kind of creates a boundary, for one thing. So the cards are all going to be kind of in one area. I can use that to, you know, sort of give me sort of a border or a boundary. It also sets the cards off really pretty. I have a couple of reading cloths. I have one that was actually made for me by one of my students, and it's really lovely. It's been actually, it's monographed with Kathleen on it, and because she went to so much work for it, that's kind of a special cloth for me. But most of the time, I use a cloth on my table that I bought at the shop that was made from wedding saris, actually, that were kind of cut up and put into, made into a big square cloth. So it's kind of pretty. But it makes the cards look really pretty. There's nothing, I don't tend to imbue objects with a magical sort of aura. I think that your reading space should be welcoming to people. I think it should be comfortable. You know, there's people in this world that are really inspired by beauty, and so I like to make my reading space really beautiful, pretty, appealing, approachable, warm. I think those kinds of things are really important, but I don't believe that necessarily a kind of energy. Now, having said that, I do have noticed, of course, like most readers have, that sometimes the deck gets kind of stale. And what does that mean? It means that, you know, I'll do a reading for a client and the reading just, I don't know, it just falls flat. It doesn't have a kind of life to it. It's not resonating for the client, and it's not inspiring me either. So then it's time to change the deck, and I'll go and pull out a different deck and use that for a while. But that's not necessarily an energetic thing. It could be just my own resonance with those images has become rather stale, repetitive, you know, predictable. It's almost like the deck gets really small, and I've seen those cards too often, and it lacks a kind of freshness or newness. But I don't adhere to this idea that you have to, you know, put your cards out on a windowsill at full moon to clean them, you know, that kind of thing. I know some people really believe in that. I think if you've got one deck and you do find it is getting kind of stale for you, then you can put it all back in its order and then reshuffle it. You know, throw it on the ground and really shuffle it up really good. That might help to freshen it for you. But in most cases, I recommend people just go and get themselves a new deck with different imagery.
So would you pick one of those decks? Would it
be? I choose the deck.
You always choose?
I do. I choose the deck. I admit it. I choose the deck, and I know, you know, I read when I first started teaching, I read somewhere that you're supposed to hand your deck over to the client to shuffle and pick the cards, because that sort of puts, again, you know, this, some of this idea that you're going to put the energy into the cards. And so I tried that, and that didn't, it just didn't work. It wasn't, the reading wasn't making any sense. It was disordered. I wasn't relating to the reading, and the client wasn't either. So I thought, okay, well, that wasn't working for me. So I went back to my ordinary way of doing things, which is to shuffle the deck myself and pull my own cards and read them. So I do all the work. It's my job. It's what I know, and so I do it.
So we're going to go to a commercial break after that.
Okay.
Oh, great. You are listening to On the Mundane on Reality Radio 101.com.